Good morning. I have a couple of announcements before we get started with our lesson. Diane sent a message in, a request to pray for her 16-year-old grandson, Michael, that he has COVID. We need to remember him. And Glenda has reported that her grandson's girlfriend is doing better. We'd prayed for her for the last couple of weeks, and we appreciate the prayers for our son Bobby. He got out of the hospital last night, and Friday they had put a stent in. People keep asking me the medical details. One, the medical details make me pass out, and I can't quite remember, but I think that they put a stent in the duct to his pancreas. Supposedly that's going to alleviate a lot of the trouble, but he is home, and I'm sure just sleeping in his own bed and getting a shower is probably going to be make him feel a lot better. But got message that the Fulbrights made it to San Antonio just fine, and so they are safe and sound and on their big move back to Texas. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of Diane's grandson real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you and we thank you. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we have. We don't want anything in our lives to stand between you hearing our prayer. We want to present ourselves to you clean and sinless. Dear God, we ask that you be with Michael. Comfort him. We hope that our desire is that the effects of this virus will be very minimal on him. Let his healthy, strong body, the immune system that you gave us, fight this virus off and let it have very little negative effects on him. Dear God, we're thankful for all the prayers that you answer. We're thankful for the prayers that you hear of ours. We ask that you continue to be with our son Bobby as he deals with problems with his pancreas. We hope that the stent is what was needed. Dear God, we pray for the Fulbrights as they are searching for a new church home. Our prayer is first and foremost they find a congregation that is sound and preaches the truth, and that they will be able to plug themselves in to that congregation and be of service there. Be with us as we continue our worship to you, and we pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. I think it was Kurt that mentioned in the opening prayer, be with me with the ready recollection. I used to hear that when I was younger, thinking, how does the guy forget what he was going to talk about? Thank you for the prayers of a ready recollection. I'm getting it now. How you can have the thought in one moment, and it's out of there the next moment. We're going to go back to the very beginning. We're going to look at Genesis, the first chapter, today. This is something that those of us that are older might need a little refresher in. This may be the first time some people in here have studied this verse. I don't know. Tracy made a comment today in Bible class that when we were growing up, the gray area of right and wrong truth, untruth, was kind of narrow. That there was a lot that was just accepted as fact, like a lot accepted as truth and untruth. Today, that gray area is much bigger. Things that the younger people are dealing with of what is questioned, things that are taught in school, things that they may hear from their friends. It's not as cut and dried as it was when I was growing up. And I would like for us to look at some things in Genesis, the very first chapter, where we see the beginning of God's creation. In Genesis 1, we're going to get our first glimpse of God, the nature of God, the makeup of God. In Genesis 1, we see the foundation of everything we believe. If we can't believe Genesis chapter 1, why even believe any of the rest of the Bible? There's a lot of answers to a lot of man's questions, such as, now, you know, these are questions that have been going on from the beginning of man. Who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Those are answered in Genesis 1. Most of our study is going to be right out of the first chapter of Genesis. We will bounce to a couple of different scriptures, but mostly we're going to be in Genesis 1. It starts out, the Bible, God's Word, starts out in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Case closed. Lesson over. This verse alone, the first verse, says a ton. In the beginning, God. There are a lot of different answers floating around in the world about creation. The first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That answers so much and puts to rest so much of other issues. Goes on to say, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. When God says something, we're going to see it occurs. Then God said. God spoke the world into existence. Didn't show up with a trailer full of equipment to a job site and tools and stuff. God spoke it. He said it, and there was light. than God said. If we go in the New Testament to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, the same concepts about the Word of God, about our Scripture, is the same as in Genesis. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is literally translated God breathed. The same way that God spoke the world into existence, He gave us His Word. All Scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God gave us His Word. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is living and powerful. That same Word of God that created His Word created the heavens and the earth. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can even divide that. That's how powerful it is. Verse 3 said, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said it, and it was so. In John 1, in the Gospels, the Apostle John wrote, in the beginning, very similar to the start of the Bible, very similar to what we're seeing in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let there be light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And skipping over to verse 14 in John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that Word, that light, became flesh. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Back in Genesis, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Not only did he create light, he created time. We see time being created in the beginning. Evening and morning. Then God said, again. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Why wouldn't it be so? Why wouldn't it be so? If God said it was, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw it was good. Of course it was good. God made it. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in the is in itself on the earth, and it was so. We see this phrase, according to its kind. Apple seeds don't bring forth oranges. We see according to its kind. It's orderly. It's systematic. It's not chaos, which a lot of scientists will tell you that the world was created out of chaos. Everything God did was orderly and thoughtful and systematic according to its kind. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. Again, he's created time that we can measure out, that we can understand. God didn't need time. He created it for man. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. What a great God we have. That he did this for us. in Psalm 147, verse 4. It says, He counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. I lose track if I'm putting 8 scoops of something for a drink. I lose track. God knows the stars. He knows the number and their names. Genesis verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. And let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind. And every winged bird according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind. And yet we're taught about evolution, how animals changed over gazillions and gazillions of years. God made these according to their kind. Cattle according to its kind. And everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us. Who's with him? Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In our image. We see the concept of God, the Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. All in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. What's their image? Spiritual. We've got every single person looking different. It's not that God looks like us. We are spiritual nature like God. We are eternal like God. We get to live for eternity. Where we spend that time are some factors that are up to us. Our image, spiritual, eternal, and it's different from the other living things that have been created. It's different than the animals, different than the grass. There are religions that think every living thing is equal. We're made in the image of God. The grass isn't. We are. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Male and female. One more time. Male and female, he created them. Anything else other than male or female was not created by God. Is an invention of man. God created man, male and female. I know Sarah's a nurse. If somebody's brought in a car accident, we have a 48-year-old female or a 63-year-old male. Not any of the other. We can trace that back to Genesis. Male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the living things that move on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you. Let us try to recreate any of this. Let us try to, from nothing, provide any of these things for ourselves. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Not just good, he looked at the totality of his creation, and it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Psalm 1 that Tracy read earlier. And this holds true for us today. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You don't have to be an expert in the Bible. You can open up your window and look at the world that God has made and see God. And Genesis 1 is a reminder to us of those things. That in the beginning, God. You don't go any further than that. You can't go any farther back than the beginning. like to end up with what Paul wrote to the Romans in the first century. It applies to us today. Starting in verse 19 of chapter 1. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. I need to stop there for just a second. One of the things we have to understand about God is, do we believe that God has communicated with us? One of the ways He's communicated to us was through His creation. And then, of course, excuse me, there's His Word. He created this world that is indisputable. It's from God. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We don't need somebody chirping in our ear. We don't need somebody chirping in our ear about salvation and about God when you can just look around and realize God. We need to have people chirping in our ear about how to be saved. But the fact that there is God, just open your eyes. Genesis 1, we see the nature of God, the power of God, and the creation of everything that's in the world. Many of you, I did not tell you a single thing that you didn't already know. Maybe a good reminder. Some of you may not have ever read Genesis 1. Now you have. You've got that under your belt. Keep going. Keep reading. In the beginning, God. If you need to respond to the invitation, that God that created the heavens and the earth, every living thing that exists, loves you, is there for you, will listen to your prayers. If you need prayers of the congregation, that God that created everything wants you to be saved. You are without excuse. He's made Himself manifest to everybody in His creation. If you need to repent of sin in your life, perfect time. Do it before we go any further. Repent. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. Let your request be known while we're led in song. Let's stand and sing.